Good morning. Welcome to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio, Inc., a League of Nations among other Internet radio talk stations, Voices of the People, United We Roar. This morning, we have special programming with Dr. Barbara Becker hosting and Kids, Tweens, and Teens, a positive psychologist, takes a look at all three. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, Lillian. I'm so glad to be back. This is my show, Kids, Tweens, and Teens, a positive psychologist looks at all three. And, of course, how can we look at our kids without looking at our mothers and all the related issues that go with growing up kids? Very often, we don't really do that in the show. We interview somebody who has focused on children at one level of development or another, or has written a novel about a kid at a certain age, and that's fine. But we need to remember the parents and the issues they face, sometimes very difficult issues, and that does affect the kids. So today it's my pleasure to have on Lori, and I can't say Lori who because, first of all, I don't know. I really don't know. I think it's wonderful to be a mystery lady. I love it. It's fascinating. But Lori, and there is another Lori who I don't think is on the show. We're just interviewing one of the Loris, have a wonderful website, blog, all sorts of MySpace pages, just an amazing number of sites through the web on the divorcing days, and I think actually the code word is divorcing days. So welcome, Lori.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm delighted to have you, and I think that you and the other Lori are really, really doing something incredibly valuable for other women. I wouldn't even rule out men, although I imagine your focus is more on women. Am I correct?
It is, but men do listen to us, and we get letters and emails from men thanking us. And because when you go through a divorce, it affects everyone. And I think everyone can relate to topics that we talk about.
Right. I think you're right. And I'm thinking as I look through some of your podcasts and things that you've put up on the various sites, it keeps coming to me like a neon sign, self-esteem issues, particularly for women. And it's hard enough for a woman to stay empowered in many of the difficult situations of marriage, children, all sorts of complicated situations with jobs and health. It's just endless. And also the way we've been brought up to view ourselves. But it's even more difficult to stay empowered and feel good about yourself with the complications that divorce brings. And I think you've really honestly tackled, handled, and are striving to really make this subject not a closet subject anymore.
I think that's true, and I think that's what we hear the most from our listeners, is that we talk about true emotions and that surround divorce. When people go through divorce, a lot of things happen that we go through, men and women, that we're quite embarrassed about, these feelings that we haven't felt since we were 13 or 14 or 10. There's anger, there's hatred, there's self-hatred. There's guilt, there's embarrassment, feelings of failure. And until we have this conversation about it, I think it's kept in the dark. And that's what Lori and I try to do. We're not doctors, we're not social workers, we don't have a degree in anything. We've just both been through this. And we just talk about it from the layman's perspective of what it's like to go through this and what it's like to get past it.
Right. And I think that's very helpful because a lot of mothers are really confused as they go through the divorce and even for a few years afterwards about their own feelings of inadequacy or rage, all these sorts of feelings. And then on top of it, the kids pick up some of the emotions. The kids don't know how to sort it out. They sometimes get angry at their parents or resentful or feel they haven't, you know, the parent is no longer parenting the way they're supposed to, like on TV or something. And it's sort of, you know, it's always better when things can be talked about, because then we can make changes and at least sort of attend to our kids in a healthy way, even if we're going through stuff, because we understand the different parts.
I agree 100%. And I think, at least in my generation, we're taught that we're supposed to keep this adult perspective for the children. Of course we are, as parents. We want to protect our children, that we're not supposed to ever cry or be angry or make mistakes. And what I've learned through my own experience and my own divorce is that, you know what, it's okay to tell your children you're sad, or that you do not have to hide the fact that you're going to cry this night for whatever reason, what's making you sad or miserable or angry, as long as you're honest about it and can get to the other side. And I think it's important that children see their parents as humans and can understand why things may fall apart in a family, and that their parents aren't perfect, as long as that the responsibility then doesn't lay on them to make it better. So as long as the conversation, again, as I said before, is happening, even if it is with your children on some level, and you're honest with it, and you say, yeah, you know, mommy's sad tonight, that's why I'm crying. I'm really sad about some things that are happening between daddy and me, and that's why I'm crying. And I think that children do pick up on these emotions that parents have. And if you're not saying that to your kids, that, yes, I am sad, they know that you're sad. And it's more scary for them if you don't explain it, to say, yeah, I am sad. You're right. Because
right.
Kids know what's going on.
Yeah, I think that that's an important point. Now, in my little book, The Truth, I'm a Girl, I'm Smart, and I Know Everything, the girl is very aware that the parents are fighting, and she lies in bed through the walls, and she hears stuff, even hears things like daddy taking the suitcase down, you know, and packing. Although the parents have not split, and it's not clear they ever will, she knows, but she has no idea as to why there's friction, and just knows that it's limiting the pleasure in the household.
Right. They don't need to know the facts of why there is friction, but to acknowledge that there is.
Right.
And that
right.
It causes real emotion. It causes an after effect, a ripple effect. And to deny those feelings, to say, no, everything's fine. Everything's fine.
Right.
It's more confusing to the child.
Yeah, I should have added that the parents never explain, so that, you know, when the kids are left sort of bereft, they're supposed to go to the lake, and they never get there because the parents have a fight, and then mommy's crying in the bedroom. There'll be another day. I'm sorry. You know, you were good. There's nothing you did wrong. Whatever.
Right.
They're just kind of left.
Right.
And I think that's not as healthy as the way you're suggesting, which is to not bring them into the confidential inner ring of intrigue, or, you know, the awareness that your spouse, I don't mean your, I mean in general, a spouse has some pathology that wasn't recognized when the person married, you know.
Right.
But just to know that the adults are working on it in their own way, and the kids are not responsible.
Right. And sometimes my daughter says, you know, it's really hard when my parents are divorced. And I said, you know what? I know that. And sometimes it's really hard on me, too. It is hard. I understand why it's hard for you, because it's hard for me also. But we do the best that we can.
Mm-hmm. So tell me more, what do some people from your podcast, what do they talk about? Are there any particular issues that keep coming up again and again, either around self-esteem or things that the kids seem to bring up? Any themes that maybe we could look at a little bit?
There's a lot on how do I get past the point of anger? How do I get, especially when there are children involved. That's a whole another ball game when you have children and you have to deal with your ex-husband or ex-wife, because you then are sharing a human being with this person who you clearly don't get along with or don't like very much. And that's really complicated to do that. So people ask, how do I get from point A to point B? How can I deal with this person and co-parent with someone who I don't really respect? And how do I get over my own anger to deal with the person in front of the children?
And I imagine that a lot of times the parenting skills are very different, just as they even are in a working marriage, which makes it even more frustrating.
Right, right.
You know, the kid comes home with a, I've heard my clients, you know, they'll come in and they'll say, the kid came home with either not his clothes at all, they've all been left strewn at daddy's, you know, apartment, or the clothes are stuffed into the suitcase but nothing's washed. The kid has ate chocolate the whole weekend.
Right. And No sleep.
It's very frustrating.
Yeah. It is very frustrating, and it's dealing, I think, with not having control over things that are happening with your children, the things that you want to control the most and protect the most. And, I don't mean being a controlling parent, but you want to raise your child in a certain way. And it's a very...
It's a kind of letting go that we do, that we all do around a lot of things that we can't control, you know, that we can't control even, again, in a marriage, you know, what happens, say, when the child goes to the in-law's house for grandparents for the weekend and your standards are very different. You know, it's something we're always facing, but there's a... You know, of course, the anger and the rage is at a much higher level. And I find with my clients very often it's best to have very little contact. In other words, with the kids going back and forth, sometimes it's better to even have a note inside the suitcase with reminders and whatever, but not to stand in the door and try to go through a list, because usually the negotiating skills between the parents are not very effective with each other.
Yes, and often I think sometimes parents try to, if my ex-wife tells me to do A, B, and C, you're going to make sure on whatever level you're thinking this, that if there's rage going on, that you're going to do the opposite of what that parent has asked you to do because you're so angry, mm-hmm. You know, the passive-aggressive behavior. Or whatever that's called.
Right.
So, yeah, it's probably, and also I think it's taken the wrong way. It's taken like you're not caring about the child. You're just trying to tell me what to do as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I find that, especially in my own experience, it's just better to, like, you know what? What goes down, and... We'll catch up on sleep the next night. We'll catch up on the string beans the next night. Well, you know,
right.
That you just have to let go, that it's you cannot have a list and tell someone, the other parent, how to do it.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And tell me, when does it seem, from what you see, you two Lori's going through it, and also the people that write and podcast and back and forth and so on, when does the transition begin to happen where there's a kind of a healing and a coming together of the self again? Tell me some of the things you see.
You know, that's such an interesting question, and we've talked about this, and I think it would be an interesting study just to listen to our podcast from, we start with number 2, and I think we're
mm-hmm.
at 63 now.
Yep,
you could probably, if you listen to each one, and there was a doctor listening to each one, he would see, he or she would see the progress, and that it, there's not a, and that, I think this is what a lot of people want to know and ask, like, when am I going to be better? When am I going to be happy again? And it doesn't happen like a light switch. It's little moments. It's not even perceptible little moments, and it just takes a lot of time and a lot of little tiny things that you do for yourself, whether it's going to a therapist, whether it's joining a group, joining a gym, doing an exercise program, getting a dog. 2 years may pass, 5 years may have to pass, it might be too much, it depends on what the situation is and what the person has to go through, but it's a lot of just little moments adding up that all of a sudden you think, oh, my gosh, I didn't think about him at all today. Oh, my gosh, I was actually really happy, and I haven't cried in a week. And those time periods just get longer and longer and longer.
And certainly we deserve them. They're well-deserved by that point.
Yes.
I think I see again with my clients that very often they're more highly engaged with their ex the first few years after divorce than they ever were in their marriage.
Well, that was my joke that I had, that I found that for the first 4 years after we split up, I talked to my ex-husband more than I ever did in my marriage.
Mm-hmm. But in your head, I've also found that people in their heads, you know, they're going over issues, they're still replaying arguments, they're still, you know, they're very engaged.
Yeah, and it's a process. It's, and I think you do have to go through it. I think it's better to go through it not with your ex-husband or ex-wife. I think it's better to find other ways to replay that situation in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important to go through it. I think it's important to look at yourself and to look at your partner. You know, it always takes two people for a marriage to fail. It's never just one person's fault and everything that he or she did. There's two people that are complicit in this. And it's important to find out what your part is.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes time after you go through probably the blame of the other person. It's to say, you know, what did I do to allow what happened or to take part in it,
right,
to engage
right.
in it?
It's so funny because I think there's an instinct. You know, we all have the instinct of blame. I guess it's sort of built into our genes to some extent.
Self-protection.
My little granddaughter was with her brother, and my daughter was away, and the brother innocently brought up something about mommy, you know, and the little girl said, oh, stop it, you can't talk about mommy, and I'm angry at you, you're not supposed to talk about mommy, and now I'm miserable, now I'm crying, you know, and the little boy was kind of innocent, but he sure got the blame for bringing up the trigger word. And I guess, you know, no matter how old or what our circumstances, we do throw out blame, and we have to struggle with what part we're playing ourselves. But I wanted to get back to something I think so core in the last 5 minutes, because I am incredibly intrigued with you, Lori, and the other Lori. Because I have spent a lot of my life work from my first book, The Enchanted Self, A Positive Therapy, helping women authenticate themselves and be proud of themselves, to my latest work, The Truth, starting with a girl. I feel that as women and girls in our culture, there's such a bias that when we express the truth or our own emotions, we're very much at risk. We can be scandalized, we can be put down, we can be embarrassed, we can be made to feel crummy pretty easily, partly because we're very sensitive. You know, it goes two ways. But for you and the other Lori to hang in there, yes, you've gotten some fame, and that's great. Everyone loves that ride, I suppose. But you've had hassles, too. I just think you're a wonderful example for other women.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It feels really good to hear that from you. I think that's what keeps us going after 2.5 years of doing this. If we haven't received the feedback that we have received from our listeners, there is no way that we would still be doing this podcast. It would have died out because when we started it, we had no idea what was going to happen and what the feedback was. And when you get a letter from someone that says, you know what, you saved my life, I can't tell you what that makes me feel inside. And that's on the more serious level. And then on the less was like, you know, you made me laugh all the way through my divorce. And I've been listening to you guys until I got engaged again, and I'm still going to listen to you. And you helped me get through the dark side. It just, it makes me feel, this sounds a little kumbaya, but that I had to go through my own tragedy for, if I could give back and help even 5 people, mm-hmm. that makes it all worthwhile.
Yeah, yeah. And I think you really are helping. I think the same way that something like Sex and the City, although, again, there are many people that put it down, too much sex, well, these girls are loose, you know, whatever superficial stuff they pick up on, without recognizing the complexities the women are facing and the insults they also receive and how they come back and how they survive.
Yes.
We need examples. We need women out there doing this kind of stuff. What else do you want to tell us? I mean, you are right now on a little bit of a fun ride with the divorcing days having become noticed, if I could
yes.
put it that way.
Yes.
Do you want to share any fun things, or do you want people to know how... You know, what else do you want to share? I want to make sure you cover a little bit for you. Both Lori's, this is another place where people will hear about you. So what would you like to share?
I think it's just important, as you said, to be having the conversation about real emotions and real feelings. And that once that conversation is out there, and once people are saying, yeah, you know what, I felt that too, the healthier the world is going to be, you know, not just for people who are going through divorce. And that's what I've actually, in the last couple of weeks, I've received a couple of letters of people saying, I've never been divorced, I've never been married, but I love listening to you guys. Because we talk about, I mean, the same thing happens in relationships, you know, of heartbreak, and right, you don't have to be married, you don't even have to be divorced. We talk about a lot of other things. We talk about life and the little things that we notice in life, and I think what we do and what the appeal to us might be is the humor that we find.
Mm-hmm.
We laugh a lot. We find the absurd and the funny. People would just find sort of disastrous and tragic. And I think Lori and I both feel like you have to laugh at yourself and you have to laugh at your situation to get to the other side and just to get through the day. And that is such a healing thing to be able to do. And that's innate in both of us, and I think that's why we gravitated to each other and are such good friends. And that's what works on the podcast, and that's what appeals to our listeners.
Yes, yes. I've listened to some of them, and you really do, and you know, you have that intimacy between you of best friends, and you have an agenda, but it floats around, and there's fun, and there's humor, and you can do mild digs at each other, and it's all just the way people relate when we're comfortable with each other.
Right. And we might have very different lifestyles and different value systems, but we still respect one another, mm-hmm. and we respect our differences, and... It works. It works.
Well, I can guarantee that from a psychologist's point of view and children, kids, tweens, and teens, that for those listening, if you take an example from Lori and you are yourself, your humor, your ability to positively have friends and attach to people, your ability to use your brains and figure things out, and you also have the courage to work yourself to improve some of the more immature parts of ourselves that come out when we're sad, when we're upset, we're in crisis, at least to work our ways through them so they can kind of be quiet and the best of ourselves can be operating, that you two are going to find yourself raising more successfully your kids, tweens and teens. It's an automatic, you know, because the kids feel safer. They feel more that they can be themselves. They can be whole, who they are, and their love for being who they are. And life is funny for them, too, and, you know, the whole thing. So you're a good example. So tell people how they can find you.
You can go to our official website at www.divorcingdaze.com. That's D-A-Z-E. And you can find us on iTunes. You can download all the podcasts. It's free of charge. And you can write us at chat@divorcingdaze.com and ask us questions or give us your situation, and we'll talk about it.
That's great. Now, this program will be heard again next Monday at 4:30, which is June 9th, and then it will be podcast on Voices Internet Voices Radio, and also brought over to my site, www.enchantedself.com. That's one word, enchantedself. And so I thank Lori very much for coming and talking about kids, tweens, and teens in reference to the divorcing days. And this is Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein, author of The Truth, I'm a Girl, I'm Smart, and I Know Everything, and looking forward to being back chatting with everybody next time. Bye for now.
Thank you very much for listening to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio. You've just listened to Lori and Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein talk about children and divorce. And if you want to hear both of them all over again, come back to the web at http://internetvoicesradio.com. On the left-hand side of the page, you'll see the word Archives. Click on that. A list of names will appear. Dr. Barbara Becker's among them. Also on the right-hand side of the page, under the silver box, Dr. Barbara Becker is there as well. You can go take a look and listen to the podcast all over again. If you want to have the recording on your portable player, go down to the lower right-hand side of the page where it says VIP. Click on that. Sign up as a free member, and for $2.60, you can download the MP3 stream. If you want a hard copy, it's $1 a minute, $15 deposit. Contact lillian.caldwell@gmail.com. PIVTR, whether providing you with the advice of experts or giving a voice to the average person who would not otherwise be heard, PIVTR emphasizes quality and enriching programs for a listener's enjoyment. And before you go away, Dr. Johnson had this to say in 1771, there's nothing which human courage will not undertake and little that human patience will not endure. Thank you all very much for listening. Have a good day. Hope to hear from you later. Thank you very much. And remember, keep listening. Thank you.